This is likely the last in a series of airline mega-mergers. The number of major U.S. carriers is now down to just 4. And history shows this kind of forced marriage could be rocky at first. NPR's Wendy Kaufman has that story.
Since the year 2000, there have been 5 airline mergers worth noting.
The history of airline mergers in the U.S. is good, bad, and ugly.
That's Henry Hartevelt, a travel industry analyst at the consulting firm Hudson Crossing. He and many others point to the 2008 union of Delta and Northwest as the best merger in recent memory.
Delta and Northwest had already been cooperating on a number of different issues. They were members of the same airline alliance. They cooperated on certain international flying. They had a complementary route network. They had similar cultures. They had a similar approach to doing business.
Delta hired a former head of Northwest to lead the combined airline. And Daniel Casper, a consultant at Compass Lexicon, says Delta did something else that was very smart. Pilots from both airlines wanted a deal, and Delta told them it wouldn't happen unless they could agree in advance on how they would merge their seniority lists.
For pilots, seniority is critical. It defines what airplanes they fly, what schedules they fly, and ultimately how much money they make.
It also determines who loses their job if the new airline downsizes. Integrating pilot seniority lists is one of the most difficult aspects of airline mergers. For example, roughly 8 years have passed since U.S. Airways merged with America West, and the airline is still operating with 2 separate sets of pilots who won't fly together. Pilot integration has also been an issue in the United Continental merger, and Casper says other parts of that union have been challenging too.
That was a really complex one to begin with. You know, you have 2 very large, well-established airlines, and certainly there was no love lost between Continental and United to begin with.
Their cultures were very different, as was the passenger experience. Analyst Hartevelt's assessment of that merger is harsh. He says Continental had been known for good customer service, but United's new leadership, which, by the way, came primarily from Continental, squandered that goodwill. The analyst says the company didn't do a very good job melding the technology systems or the reservations process. Flight operations weren't smooth either. Last July, for example, fewer than 65% of the airline's flights were on time.
It is very, very interesting to see what happens when you act with arrogance, when you don't pay attention to the details, when you take your business for granted. And unfortunately, that is what happened with United.
Still, experts believe that merger will ultimately be successful in financial terms. As for the marriage of American and U.S. Airways, Standard & Poor's analyst Philip Bagley says, over the long run, it too will likely pencil out financially. But he says,
we don't see quite as much potential as we did with Delta Northwest or United Continental.
Bagley suggests the route networks of the 2 airlines don't complement each other as well. And while the merged carrier would have more flights to Europe, there would still be missing pieces.
Neither of them is strong in the Pacific. They don't have many of their own routes there.
And as Bagley points out, it's international flights with full fare-paying business travelers that are the most lucrative. The analyst cites another potential problem, too.
We think that a merger would raise the labor costs possibly by a fair amount.
The pilots of both American and U.S. Airways are slated to get a pay raise as part of this deal. It was one of the carrots that U.S. Airways offered to American's pilots to get their support for the merger. Labor costs are, of course, a huge factor in the airline industry, and they can make the difference between a carrier making money and not. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.